This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Storm Elsa creeping up from the southeast and working her way north. Boy, lots of damage in the path of Elsa. Speaking of damage, it is still about what's happening. I say this almost every time I've been on the air now for the past week and a half. Still what's happening at Surfside, that condo collapse. Now they have absolutely switched from recovery a rescue to recovery. No chance of life. That's what's being said at this point. No chance of life, which is very disheartening, of course, to the people who were waiting for that miracle to happen, which many of us knew it was not going to happen, especially when they had to bring down the second part of that building. So the death toll officially rose to 54 in this collapse rescue shift to now this full-on recovery operation. And what is so interesting about this is when a body is found, and I saw this in when this is what they wanted to do in 9/11 and didn't get a chance to do it, but when a body is found, the rescuers pay respects right away. And boy, it's tough on the people who are part of that effort for what they're going through on that pile. But the more bodies I think they recover, the better off the people will be, that they have some sort of closure. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. So this is where we're at, really the top part of this. You've got the Haitian president who was assassinated. You have Storm Elsa. You have the condo collapse. And you have the global COVID-19 death toll surpassing 4 million, a pretty grim milestone, especially with new cases and deaths dropping in the U.S. and Europe is a good thing. But there are still countries that are facing surging outbreaks. And it's all about this Delta variant and how serious this is and concerns in pockets of the United States that this could be a problem for us as well. But first, let's talk about Tropical Storm Elsa. It really flew in to the Gulf Coast of Florida. No joke. The winds caused a tree to fall on two cars during an afternoon commute in Jacksonville, Florida. One person was killed after that happened. A possible tornado also touched down as well in Jacksonville. So it smashes into the Gulf, but there was some real damage in Jacksonville. And when it came into Tampa, in the Tampa area, lots of water, you know, it was high tide, so they certainly saw some of that. There was some flooding in parts of Florida. Power lines were pulled down on Cedar Key. That really got slammed in the middle of the night. The rain was pounding windows and flying over rails and all of that. So high winds in northern Florida and southern Georgia, toppling trees and power lines. You know, once you get up to about 50 miles an hour, some of those trees just start falling. 18,000 utility customers in Florida, in fact, were without power late on Wednesday night. You can track all of that if you have family and friends that live in some of these pockets on poweroutage.us. A lot of times I double check things there. But roads were flooded. It was nasty and awful. In the Fort Myers area, some roads were simply impassable. More than 4.9 million people under this tropical storm warning across Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. Now, a tropical storm watch has also been issued up north in parts of New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and I found out earlier Philadelphia will be hit with this too. So Elsa's dropping rain and dropping, sadly, too many trees along her path. So you got shelters that are open in many areas, and you've got people that are reaching out to help other people to make sure that they're okay. But, you know, like I said, in Tampa, where really that could have been ground zero, you saw the water break over the seawall, but it didn't quite do what it did in Key West or Jacksonville or Cedar Crest, any of those places, but they certainly were felt. In the southeastern Florida community of Surfside, you know, crews were continuing that search and rescue operation, which is now recovery, like I said, at that deadly condo collapse. But they were also concerned about wind and were monitoring it. If it got above 45, they were stopping because of where this path looked like it was going to be. So that's what happened with Elsa. In the meantime, the Haitian president, this really shook a lot of people up, and it's surprising because, I mean, when was the last time we had something like that happen where we flat out say, well, hey, somebody's been assassinated in another country, the head of the country. So the Haitian president, Jovenel Moïse, was killed during an attack in his house on Wednesday, very early. The prime minister announced that Claude Joseph is his name, and he declared a state of siege in the country immediately. They stormed his house at about 1 a.m. and fatally wounded him. The first lady was shot in the attack. She was evacuated to a hospital in Miami for treatment. She's stable but critical at this point, and they're trying to figure out how to move forward, how they can identify people who were part of the assassination. They have two suspects, and they killed four others connected to the assassination. So they think that the suspects got assistance from Haitian nationals because of cars they used to get to the presidential residence where the president was killed. And, of course, what does the rest of the world look at now? What is this? What is the succession path now? I mean, this was a guy who was a former banana exporter in Haiti, and he was very divisive in Haitian politics. He spent most of the past year waging some kind of a political war with the opposition over even the terms of his presidency. Now it's very, very unclear as to who will replace him at this point. So you look at the United States, you look at Europe, you look at others, and of course their concern is what's brewing in Haiti. And you know, while he was in the United States, while the president of Haiti, the former now president of Haiti, was in the United States, United Nations and Organization of America States supported his claim to a fifth year in office because he was supposed to step down in February of this year. But he cited a constitutional provision that started the clock once he was elected rather than when he took office is part of what that argument was. But he said his five-year term should end in 2022. So, again, there are some big opposition groups there. Who knows who steps into that role next? But a very big shakeup, obviously, in Haiti with the assassination and the attack on the president in his own residence. And then, of course, what ultimately happens as far as who comes up next in line. The other thing is the milestone that is so depressing. 4 million people at the start of this, do you think 4 million people in the world would die? It's happened. Those are the statistics. The United States, which has the highest number of fatalities, 606,000 people, 606,000 people. That's 15% of the global total, followed by Brazil and India. Hang with us. You've got lots of thoughts on a lot of different things. We're hitting the mailroom next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mailbag.
For your thoughts and on everything and sending them to me 24/7 kate@katedelaneyradio.com. This one's from Roxy listening to us in Tucson. She listens on KVOI 10:30 a.m. if you are in Tucson, one of my favorite places. Roxy says, Kate, I love the love that you give us in Arizona, and I gotta say, I am not a huge sports fan, but I am all about the Phoenix Suns. What do you think the Phoenix Suns' chances are to win all of it, the NBA championship, the title? You know what, Rox, I think this is gonna be interesting to see what happens in this game, too, for the Suns, because they absolutely took it to the Bucks in game one. Devin Booker and Chris Paul were amazing, and the team had a great rhythm and poured in the buckets when they needed them to happen, especially in that third quarter. And then heading out of the gate in the first quarter, you know, it looked like things are going to go back and forth. There was going to be a lot of runs on both sides of the court, the Bucks and the Suns, but the Suns in the end took it to the Bucks when they needed to pour in the points, and they did. So in game two, you of course are dealing with the you're dealing with home court advantage again, and the Suns are favored by 5.5. But what happens? So let's say the Suns go up, and I think they do take the second game. Then what happens when they hit the road on Sunday and they're in Milwaukee? I think in this case there is that wild kind of home court advantage. Let's see how the Bucks play in the second game, and then what happens when they
go back to Milwaukee on Sunday. So what I would say is this series could, to me could be pretty tight, but boy, Arizona has a great chance. Phoenix has a great chance to close the door on this one because there's just a couple of weak spots that are starting to be exposed as far as Milwaukee's concerned. But, you know, you never know when you start playing them and they realize, hey, it's come down to this. It was an exhausting season because they came out of the bubble and then suddenly they have a short break before they're back into a regular NBA season. And so to me, when you know the finish line is so close and what are the odds that you'll get back there again is really, 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 it's really tough to say that somebody doesn't just roar up and you have some unsung heroes. So there's your answer. But I think if I have to pick, I'm going to say that, boy, the Suns maybe take it in six or seven. Unless that first game was an indication, then it might sadly be lights out quicker than anybody in Milwaukee or Wisconsin would hope. All right, let's move to this one. This one is from Jake, who says, Kate, this tropical storm Elsa really did slam into Florida. There are people that were injured and power lines down, and boy, you saw palm trees bend all the way back. So it was a killer, but not quite as awful as it could have been. That's the way to put it, yeah. I mean, I said Tampa was blasted, high winds, heavy rains. You know, Key West, the streets looked like a log flume ride. It's just water everywhere, kind of a roaring river. Jacksonville, Florida, one person was killed when a tree fell and hit two cars. So Jacksonville seemed to be also a place where a tornado touched down. So absolutely. Key West always is iffy, right? Especially when it's the target. And there were people that were rescued. I guess there were 22 people that left Cuba on a boat. Of course, the water was nasty, and it toppled the boat. So there were some Good Samaritan-type people who rescued 13 of the 22. But there's still 9 people, I guess, that are also missing because of that. So Elsa at least was downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical storm. But, yeah, it moved parallel to the west coast of Florida for the past, you know, I guess, day or so. So the Florida governor even said a wobble to the west is what he called it as the storm was hitting Tampa. But it helped because it wobbled a little bit and helped keep the damage there to a minimum. So no fatalities or serious injuries. And so that part is a good thing. But lots of people without power, you know, 26,000 or something in that Tampa Bay area, Hillsboro, Pinellas, Polk counties. They really got nailed with this. And even the airport in Tampa, they suspended operations. They had canceled like 200 flights or something and then kicked them back up at 8:30 in the morning after checking for the storm damage. Hurricane season is rough. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, this one is from William, and William actually is listening to us in the great state of Connecticut. And William, it's interesting. I was just talking to someone in Connecticut. You may be from Stamford, it sounds like. So you're probably listening to us on 105.5 FM. But anyway, William says, Kate, I don't know if you know this or not, but when we talk about the amount of people who have died from COVID and what's now happening in the United States, one of the things that's not happening now is the metrics are different in Connecticut because we are relatively, thank goodness, low. So instead of releasing updates on the number of people who die weekly on a weekly basis, they have decided to stop doing that. That was something that I saw that crawled across the screen when I was watching the local news. I thought you would find that interesting. Well, yeah, because the fatalities, thank goodness, are down. So it used to be, okay, here's what's happened, and they would publish them, and they're not doing that now. They're not doing the numbers They're only the chief medical examiner. This is interesting. Is they say only on Thursdays they're going to release the death count because luckily the infections are low and the vaccine rollout has slowed, but they feel pretty good about where Connecticut is headed. So they're not doing that anymore. They're not putting those numbers out there. So it is pretty interesting. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. And somebody else that I talked to had said something to me today about that. All right. This one is from Chris. And Chris says, Kate, what do you make about the Donald suing Facebook and Google and Twitter? Do you think there's much of a chance that the former prez could win these lawsuits? No, I think it's more about, you know, I'm going to stand up to being, you know, being dumped from the sites. So, yes, Mark Zuckerberg, I guess, Jack Dorsey and others, because he's suspended from Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, actually. They said because of the praise of supporters who were part of what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. So on Wednesday at a pro-Trump America First, at the pro-Trump America First Policy Institute, the former president said, I stand before you this morning to announce a very important and very beautiful, I think, development for our freedom. He said he would be the lead plaintiff in a class action seeking an injunction, punitive damages, and prompt resolution in federal court. And, of course, one of the things he says is that companies can't silence users for their political beliefs and insist that the major social media sites are doing that to conservatives. But this, he says, is part of the reason that he is going after them. But the question of winning it will be tough, right? So Facebook and Twitter have a First Amendment free speech deal that they'll defend, saying that they have the right to determine what speech their platforms project and amplify. Probably that, I think, would be their argument. But we'll see. We'll, you know, again, this will play out, so it will be interesting to certainly to watch it. Again, thanks for the emails. You can flip me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate to make more glutathione is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Authorities in Surfside, Florida announced Wednesday that crews had recovered 18 more victims from the rubble of the collapsed condominium tower, bringing the official death toll up to 54. Also on Wednesday, the rescue operation was officially ended, moving into the recovery phase.
So today is about beginning the transition to recovery so that we can help to bring closure.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. 86 people are still unaccounted for nearly 2 weeks after the collapse. And after leaving thousands without power in Florida, Tropical Storm Elsa has moved into southeastern Georgia, dropping heavy rains and bringing gusty winds. The Tropical Storm Watches now extend from South Carolina up to Long Island, as Elsa is expected to head into South Carolina and eastern North Carolina on Thursday and into the mid-Atlantic coast on Friday. The storm will weaken as it continues over land, but does have the potential to drop several inches of rain as it goes. This is USA Radio News. Police in Haiti say they've arrested the presumed assassins who killed President Jovenel Moïse. The president and his wife were shot in their home Wednesday morning outside of the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince. First Lady Martine Moïse was airlifted to Miami to be treated for multiple gunshot wounds, where she's reportedly in critical but stable condition. The killing drawing condemnation from around the world, President Biden condemning the killing in a statement, saying that the U.S. is ready to assist in working for a safe and secure Haiti. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also tweeting his condolences and support for the Haitian people. And the Pentagon has axed a controversial project. Lance Pry explains.
The Pentagon has canceled the disputed JEDI contract. The Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Project became bogged down in legal challenges almost as soon as it was awarded to Microsoft in October of 2019. The price tag was $10 billion over a decade. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Moments, or you have kids, or you have grandkids, or like I said, it could be you, it could be someone else in the family tree, where they are just sucked into social media. I mean, it is everything. I'm saying they want to become an influencer, and that's a big buzzword that is worth millions of dollars in some cases. It's this crazy phenomenon that we've seen that has gone on probably for the past 8 years or so. It was a slow build, and now it's exploded. And of course, there's been many documentaries on this, on how somebody becomes sort of fake famous. And Norway decided, yeah, we're not going to have any of this whatsoever. We're not going to have people committing suicide or feeling less than because of things that are fake. So Instagram influencers who don't clearly state if they've edited photos, which are advertisements, could be fined or imprisoned in Norway due to a new law. In Norway, advertisers and influencers paid by advertisers will have to clearly label their post if they've been retouched. A new label designed by the Norwegian Minister of Children and Family Affairs will have to be added to advertisement posts that have altered someone's, they say, shape, size, or skin. So it means it would include an influencer advertising a product, but making their lips bigger, enhancing muscles, or making themselves look slimmer or bigger in certain areas. The Norwegian monarch, did you know they had a king? They do. Harald V will decide when the law comes into effect. But a violation of the law could result in a fine or, boom, you're behind bars. So as social media platforms are getting a lot of backlash for their potentially negative impacts on mental health, this is what they decided that they were going to do. If you go back a few years, go back to 2017, there was a report by the UK's Royal Society for Public Health that said Instagram was the social media platform that had the worst effect on the mental health of young people. So what does Instagram do? Which, you know, Instagram is part of Zuckerberg's stable because Facebook and Instagram are hand in hand. But Instagram's been working on ways, they say, to curb the anxiety of some users on their platform, and they've brought in a new tool which gives the option of hiding your like counts, because that was a thing that was stressing people out, that it had to be all about how many people liked you, and that was part of that whole influencer thing. So that was one of their ways to fight back, I guess, against this. But I think that's pretty serious when they're telling you, hey, if you're going to touch things up, and you're going to look fantastic, and you're going to exaggerate what's happening in your world, basically, with things you're doing, we think it's serious enough that you could go to prison or pay at least a very big fine. So I wonder how much this will crack down the nonsense, or will it? I mean, will anybody pay attention to this? I don't know. It's interesting. UK influencers, brands, and celebrities have to follow rules as well. You know, what it is that they're doing, that they can't change the shade or texture or product they're advertising, you know, that kind of thing. Because the filter is the other deal. You fling up a filter and then you look different. You don't look the same. So this is the kind of maneuvering that happens. It's one of those things where, hey, everybody else is doing it, so if I want to become an Instagram influencer, this is what I have to do. But as soon as the king says, this is the law, they better watch out in Norway, because they really say they intend to influence the way influencers are acting on Instagram. So there you go. All right, as we kind of crisscross in a couple of different arenas here, some things that I say that this show is always about what's on your radar and mine. So what are people talking about in our backyards? You know, what is it that we keep hearing the most? And I think, you know, this is sort of a post-COVID world. So the question still is over vaccinations and what are the protocols, and does it feel like there's a shift and a lift? I call it the shift and the lift. And, you know, the shift is shifting away from things that were happening, the businesses being shuttered, etc., to the lift, lifting us all up again and seeing the smiles and people getting together, and what we haven't seen in such a long time. You keep hearing the lines that are either, you know, a year and a half or 18 months, or I haven't seen my family in however long it's been, or I haven't seen some of my friends. But the other thing that has also happened with this shift and lift is a record of open jobs, a record of people quitting in a month. I mean, job openings are at historic highs. You see the signs everywhere. 9.2 million in May, resignations dropping slightly from a historic peak. Now, this is data that's released by the Labor Department. The number of open jobs on the final business day of May changed little from the peak set in April. So it's a job seeker's market. Worker demands are at record highs. Restaurants, bars, hotels, the new openings,
crazy. Industries hit hard during the pandemic have seen higher levels of turnover. There's wage pressure. Hey, not enough money. Sorry, I go someplace else. Competition for a smaller pool of applicants. And I don't think this is going to get better anytime soon. I don't think so. I think it's going to take a while for that pendulum to swing back in a different direction. And, you know, during the pandemic, we talk about the craziness, and even in this post-pandemic, if you will, world, the craziness of what we are missing, you know, things that are just sold out. So what has happened is the patio furniture business has really, really been a boom, but now, you know, if they're out of stock, they're out of stock. Record sales in March and April. Showrooms that are almost empty in some cases don't have any outdoor chairs or tables or chaises for people to buy. There's a garden supply store in suburban Baltimore that's been waiting 6 months for a shipping container from Vietnam full of $100,000 worth of wicker and aluminum furniture. It should have arrived in February, but it reached U.S. waters on June 3rd and has just docked in Long Beach, California, because people are so far behind. And what is being said by the companies that are waiting for shipments, that they haven't seen anything like this to the supply chain, that it's incredibly challenging. And it's the bizarre paradox of the fastest growth in generations at more than 6%, but also delays for anyone trying to buy cars, furniture, and a slew of other things that you can't get. You got to wait for, you know, desks, chairs, things that are related to offices because of remote work that is still continuing. Or maybe it's get back to the office, but a couple days a week you're remote. So a lot of office supplies, just, it was a boom. But patio furniture makers say they expect the supply squeeze to end in 2022, or check this out, 2023. So I have a couple of words of advice for all of you listening. Take care of your patio furniture. I didn't used to take it in. Oh, now, wiping it down and making sure it's okay. Oh, I'm not going to get any rust on those suckers, because how are you going to get it? I mean, how are you going to get it? The supply chain is messed up. How are you going to get it? You know, it's like the toilet paper when the pandemic started. It was fixed because factories could ramp up production. But in the case of the challenges in Asian ports, that's not going to change. And it's logistics, and it's, like I said, it is all about the logistics of moving, the logistics of getting something out of a port and then to another port, and then having the people that can unload it, because this is the other part of the problem that so many companies are facing, for things that weren't really thought about that have kicked in and have had a big bite on the economics of certain industries. Because you have these customers and these orders, but you can't fill them. So you've already filled them, and yay, that's great. But now what about next month? What about next quarter? And it's trying to catch up from the back order. So tough, tough, tough. All right, traveling and the cloud. Stay tuned, because we're going to fill in the blanks as far as that's concerned with Brianna Frank next. I know
you're
doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Howdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Well, I've started to jump back on planes, and I have a lot of questions about what's happening technology-wise, so who better to have on than Brianna Frank? She's the director of IBM Cloud, and there are a lot of us that are questioning, geez, you know, there's some challenges to doing this and to being flexible and figuring this out, and so how do we do this? Brianna, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's take a sort of a tour through the cloud and marry that to the travel industry. When we look at technology and what role it plays in the travel industry, I think it's pretty big, and I saw this myself, but tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, I think the technology and the travel industry have gone hand in hand for quite some time, whether it's finding the best price or the perfect hotel room in the perfect location. You know, all of that is really leveraging technology, and it's bringing information, you know, closer to the user so that they can make the most informed decision. But now with the pandemic, the demand for travel is really surged, and, you know, our expectations are higher than ever. A lot of us have put off travel for a year, and, you know, this trip is important to us, and we want to have that, you know, best amazing experience while we're staying safe at the same time.
Yeah. So here's the question. We keep hearing the word hybrid. I hear it as a speaker. I hear it in broadcasting, and certainly we hear it when it comes to traveling. So what is hybrid cloud, and why have travel companies really pushed or accelerated the adoption of it during the pandemic?
No, that's a great question. So hybrid cloud really allows, you know, travel companies to leverage maybe existing applications or existing data and add new features and functions to that. So what we can do is bring the cloud to where the application or where the data resides. But really what all that means is that travel companies are able to adapt and build new technology faster and, you know, new features and apps and new experiences so that they can, you know, adapt to the changes of the pandemic or just the travel industry as a whole have demanded. So it allows them to innovate faster, push new features into apps on a daily, hourly basis instead of months, you know, even years to develop new technologies that we've seen in the past. Today, you know, consumers are demanding, you know, instantaneous, you know, very, very great experiences, and travel companies can deliver that with, as long as they have flexible tools and they're able to innovate faster.
Yeah. So that's a good follow-up to this. So what are some of the benefits they've seen with the adoption of some of that technology you're talking about?
You know, I've seen a lot of travel companies leverage AI, you know, artificial intelligence, and that really starts to predict where there might be problems, where there might be a surge of demand. So, you know, imagine if you're a rental car company, there may be a surge of demand in one specific location, in one specific city, and you'd be able to start to predict those patterns using artificial intelligence. Another area that we're seeing that is really benefiting both the user and the travel industry is this concept of a virtual assistant. And there, AI can predict the kinds of questions that, you know, consumers might have or, you know, what problems they might run into. You know, so therefore, you know, users can use an app or go online and be able to really rectify those, you know, their questions or whatever problem they might have. Maybe they're going to rebook onto a different flight. And they can do that all without talking to an agent. And the trend that we're seeing most post-pandemic is really around contactless travel. So being able to check in without, you know, talking to a human, or being able to order, you know, drinks or snacks on a flight without having to have a lot of interaction with a flight attendant.
Yeah, boy, that's where I've seen the big difference, Brianna, with myself, in being able to switch a flight, be able to figure out, again, what you just said, contactless travel, what's happening there. That saved my bacon, so to speak, when I took a trip to Florida. So it's tremendous what you're doing. Is it exciting for you as the director of IBM Cloud to see all these new uses?
It really is. You know, I think that for me, I think, you know, I tell a story a couple years ago, I took a family vacation and I flew a budget airline with my family, and I used a new feature in the app, which was passport scanning. So I had small kids at the time. So I, you know, was able to scan everybody's passport. My boarding passes were in my phone. It was a lot easier for me to manage. But then I flew home on my tried and true airline, one I've been very loyal to for years, and they didn't have passport scanning. And so I was in the hotel room, you know, entering in everyone's, you know, middle name and passport number while everyone else was having fun at the beach. And I thought, you know, this passport scanning feature is actually pretty important. And it seems like just a feature, but it really is impacting my ability to have fun. And so, you know, I started to question my loyalty to that airline. And interestingly enough, the next week I flew out for work on that same airline, and they already had passport scanning as a feature. And I think that is really what it's all about, is that these airlines, the travel industry as a whole, are having to react so quickly to, you know, what their competitors are doing and then what we as consumers are demanding. Because, you know, the more we get a taste of this instantaneous, you know, service, we want more of it. And so I think that's what's exciting, to see how quickly the airline industry can adapt to, you know, what we want is to have more fun and have a better trip.
Yeah, I like your example. That was a great example. So, Brianna, where can people go for more information?
Absolutely. IBM.com/cloud.
Excellent. Brianna Frank, Director of IBM Cloud, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that was good information, useful stuff. We're seeing a lot of people are traveling, and this is where you don't want to get stuck, and especially rebooking, moving things around, checking in, as Brianna was talking about, because of delays, things that are happening on Southwest, American, Delta, any of the airlines. You don't hear Delta as much, or even United, but you hear American, and especially Southwest has had some problems, and most of that has to do do with personnel and training those pilots to get them up and in the air and have all those flights, have the crews that they need. So there's a lot of rearranging. And there's the normal things that happen, like Tampa had delays in some other places in Florida did because of the tropical storm. How about this, kind of along those same lines, Airbnb is blocking bookings left and right. Have you ever done an Airbnb? And so here's what's happening. They're blocking the large gatherings. You know, throughout the pandemic, they certainly did that. They blocked 50,000 plus suspicious bookings. It included 7,000 in Dallas, 6,000 in San Diego, and more than 5,000 in Charlotte. So, if people wanted to get together with thousands of their best friends, and that wasn't considered to be kosher. So they said they knew they were looking at it, and they knew, we're not renting this. It's hard anyway because, you know, when I did an Airbnb once, and it was amazing, and it was a great experience, and the owner and I went back and forth, and it was no problem, but there was like three of us. So I wasn't saying, listen, I have 500 of my best friends, or wink, wink, I have 5 of my best friends, multiply that, I won't really tell you the amount of people that are coming in, and it's easy to tattle on someone or to see that, but especially I think there was concerns about what could happen if you had that many people stuffed into some of these places. All right, speaking of being stuffed, how about this one? This is crazy and a perfect wrap-up to this hour of the show. I don't know how anyone does this in the first place, and I've interviewed some of these professional eaters. That's what you are, a professional eater, when you stuff hot dogs or other types of food down your throat and you get paid to do it because you win. Pro eater Joey Chestnut banked $10,000 on Sunday for inhaling 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes at Nathan's annual contest in Coney Island. So I was reading a story in the Washington Post. They estimated that his intake was 20,520 calories, 1,102 grams of fat, 684 grams of protein, 50,160 milligrams of sodium. Wow. I would hope that the hot dogs were not the kind that were just loaded with salt and all that sodium. That is so awful for you. What do you do to wind down your professional eater? How does he do it? I have no idea. He's won 14 of the last 15 years. It's crazy. It's insane, I tell you. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show, and Nathan Reeder for his incredible work. As always, on the technicals, make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.